Our subject this morning is the glory of Jesus Christ, the excellence and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll be reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and also chapter 3. I'd like very much, if you don't mind, for you to follow in your Bible as I read the Scripture today. I think you'll get a greater blessing from the message if you'll follow it in the Scripture. Now you've got time right now to get your Bible and open it to Hebrews chapter 1. Now I'm going to read a text, verse 8 of Hebrews 1. But unto the Son, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, He saith, that is the Father saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Thy throne, O God. The Father said this to Christ the Son. Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, it's not always wise to seek keys to the books of the Bible. It's not always wise to try to find a key to a passage of Scripture, because we could lay hold on the wrong key and we could go in the wrong direction, or we could even lay hold on the right key, and instead of finding all the precious treasures that are there, we might miss the blessing riding one particular point. But without a doubt, I can say this without a doubt, the key to the book of Hebrews, the key to the book of Hebrews is the excellence and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's absolutely right. You take the entire book of Hebrews, and the key to this whole book, the key to understanding it, the key to being blessed by it, the key to receiving the treasures that are there, is to understand that the book of Hebrews deals with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it sets forth His superiority over all things and over all creatures. For example, look at verse 4, chapter 1, now verse 4. You see it there? Talking about Christ, it says, being made so much better than the angels, so much better than the angels, He hath by inheritance obtain a more excellent name than they. Take all the angels of God, Michael, Gabriel, all of those you cannot name, all of the heavenly hosts, the cherubims and seraphims, and our Lord Jesus Christ is superior to all of them, being made so much better than the angels. It's talking about Christ. Now look at chapter 3, verse 3. It says in verse 3 of chapter 3, this man, speaking of Christ, the God-man, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as the builder of the house has more glory than the house. Now, Moses was a great leader, and the people of Israel, they kept saying, well, we have Moses, we believe Moses, and Christ is worthy of more glory, many times more glory than Moses and all the Moses that ever lived. And then it talks about Aaron and the priest. It says they were many. Christ was one. They lived and died. His priesthood is forever after the order of Melchizedek. They offered many sacrifices. He only one. They came daily offering the same sacrifices into the holy place made with hands. He went into heaven, into the very presence of the Father. They brought the blood of animals. He brought His own blood. Their sacrifices could never put away sin. By one offering, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. They died, He lives. So our Lord Jesus Christ, His covenant so much better than their covenant. His sacrifice so much better than all their sacrifices. Our Lord is far superior and more excellent and has more glory than all of the priests and the sacrifices put together with the tabernacle thrown in. Listen to Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. In all the earth thou hast set thy glory above the heavens, above the tabernacle, above the priest, above the sacrifices, above Moses, above the angels, thy glory above the heavens. You see what I'm saying? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the book of Proverbs. Solomon, writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, said, when there were no depths, thou wast brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, when the Father prepared the heavens, thou wast there. when God appointed the foundations of the earth, then were you by him as one brought up by him, daily his delight. Listen to this. Whoso findeth thee, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. He that sinneth against thee wrongeth his own soul, and those that hate thee love death. My friends, this is a sum and essence of the book of Hebrews. If you want a key to the book of Hebrews, if you want a theme of the book of Hebrews, if you want to find the sum and substance of the book of Hebrews, if you want to take the book of Hebrews and condense it into one word, it'd be Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. For that matter, the whole Bible is the story of the redemptive glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 of Hebrews 1. It says here, God, who at sundry times, or different manners, different ways, in different ways or divers ways, spoke to our fathers. God spoke to our fathers. How did God speak to our fathers? He spoke to our fathers by the prophets. We're talking about Moses, Elijah. We're talking about Samuel. We're talking about Jeremiah. We're talking about Isaiah. We're talking about Malachi. We're talking about all of the prophets. God spake to our fathers, to the Old Testament saints, to the people who lived before Calvary, to the people who lived before the apostles. God spoke to them. He spoke to them by the prophets. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Well, what did he say to the people by the prophets? The prophets brought the message of God. The prophets came and said, thus saith the Lord. Habakkuk talked about the burden of the word of the God. Jeremiah said, he that hath a dream, let him tell his dream. He that hath the word of God, let him preach the word of God. What did these prophets say to the people? God spoke to the people by the prophets. Well, what did God say to the people by the prophets? Well, look at Acts 10:43. Now, this will give you the key to everything that Moses preached and Jeremiah preached and Isaiah preached and all the rest of it. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him, that is to Christ, give all the prophets witness. That's right. Christ was their message. These people came to Christ our Lord, and they said, we don't want to hear you. We have Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law. We have Moses. Our Lord said to them, you don't believe Moses. If you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. Moses wrote of me. Well, they said, Abraham's our father. He said, you didn't believe Abraham. You're not the son of Abraham. Or you'd do Abraham's works. Abraham saw my day. And he rejoiced, and he was glad. Moses wrote of me. Christ was Moses' message. Let me tell you something. When our Lord took Peter, James, and John and went to the Mount of the Transfiguration, and he was transfigured there before them, Christ was in the center, and Moses and Elijah appeared with him, talking with him. Do you happen to know what they talked about? It's pretty important what they talked about. Here was our Lord Jesus Christ with the very glory of God shining upon him. A voice from heaven came down and said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And here Moses, the greatest prophet that ever lived, representing the law. Here's Elijah, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, representing all the prophets. And they appeared there with the Lord and talked to him. What did they talk about? The Bible tells you. It says they spoke with him about his death at Jerusalem. That's what they preached about. That's what they believed in. That's what they looked for. That's what they waited for. That's what they declared. When Isaiah saw his glory, he spake of him. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. They wrote of him. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. Look at John 5:39. Our Lord was surrounded by a group of religionists, a group of Pharisees. And they didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't then written. Christ had not even died on the cross. They didn't have the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and 1 and 2 Corinthians, any of those books. They had the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis through Malachi. And our Lord looked at them and he said, you search the scriptures. You're busy searching the scriptures. You do search the scriptures. And they did. They were students of the scriptures. They were scribes of the scriptures and translators of the scriptures. And students and teachers of the scriptures. And he said, in the scriptures you think you have life. But they are they which testify of me. And then when our Lord appeared to his apostles in Luke 24, verse 44, he said this to them. Luke 24:44, listen to it. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. What did Moses write in the Psalms and the prophets concerning me? They wrote that he'd be woman's seed. That's right, Genesis 3:15. The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. They wrote that he would be Abraham's seed. God said, Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. And I'll bless you, and through you I'll bless the world. Abraham's seed is Christ. Not to seeds, to seed, singular. S-E-E-D. And that seed is Christ. That's what Paul said. The seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. They said he would come of the tribe of Judah. When the prophet was blessing his children, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes. God declared by the prophets that he would be a man born of woman, that he would be Abraham's seed, a Jew, that he would be of the tribe of Judah, not Levi, Judah, that he would be of the family of Jesse, a stem of Jesse, and that he would be of the household of David. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was. And that he would be born in Bethlehem. They came and said, where is this king of the Jews supposed to be born? These fellows got their Bibles out and went through. They said in Bethlehem. That's where he was born. Mount Micah 3:5-2. They said in Isaiah 7:14, a young woman, a virgin, shall conceive and bring forth a son. Mary, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He said in Deuteronomy, he'll be a prophet like Moses, a king like David, and a priest like Melchizedek. They said he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. They said he'd have his beard plucked out. They said he'd have his hands pierced and his feet pierced. They said they'd spit in his face. He said in the Word of God they'd gamble at the foot of his cross for his robe. It said he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb, and on the third day he'd rise again. All of that's in the Old Testament. It's all applicable only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled every prophecy, every promise, and every picture which was presented in the Scriptures. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. What did he say to them? There's a prophet coming like unto Moses, him you shall hear. There's a king coming like unto David, King of kings and Lord of lords. There's a priest coming after the order of Melchizedek, who met Abraham, even when the whole tribe of God's people were in his loins, and he paid tithes to Melchizedek. My friends, God spoke to the people in the Passover. God spoke to the people in the rock that was smitten. God spoke to the people in the serpent that was lifted up on a pole. God spoke to the people in the tabernacle and the feast of the first fruits and all the other sacrifices. God spoke of Christ, Christ, Christ in his redemption. I hear men talking about dispensationalism, and I've got no quarrel with dispensations. There are dispensations. There are certain dispensations. There are different ways in which God reveals himself. There are different ways in which God Almighty manifests his grace, but his grace is always in Christ. His grace is always in Christ. And whatever dispensation, the way God saves men is by Christ. Men have never been saved by keeping the law because no man's ever kept the law. Men have never been saved by animal sacrifices because the blood of an animal cannot put away the sin of a man. Men have always been saved by looking to Jesus Christ, whether before he died or after he died, whether the coming king or the king who has come, whether the coming crucified lamb or the lamb that has been slain. They're saved only by Christ and Christ alone. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So God, in different ways and at different times, spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath, watch the next verse, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, who tabernacled among us. I want you to read verse 2 and 3 very carefully. I believe we ought to commit these two verses to memory. You'll see three very important facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. Three undeniable facts. Three important facts. Three imperative facts about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. God hath in these last days spoken to us, you and me, by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, who upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. God spake to our fathers by the prophets about Christ. And God has spoken to you and to me personally by his Son, who came to this earth in human flesh. And right here in these two verses, he tells us three important, imperative truths about Christ. Listen to me now. First, he tells us who he is. And then he tells us what he did. And then he tells us where he is now. Notice the first one. God tells us who he is. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? They looked at him and said, well, we know you. We know your mama and your brothers and sisters, Joseph and Judy and all the rest of them. And we knew your father, Joseph. Who do you think you are? Is not this the carpenter? Just who is this man? Well, read that verse 2 and it'll tell you. He's God's beloved Son. That's what it says. Not the Son of God by creation, as the angels are. Not the Son of God by adoption, as I am. But the Son of God in very truth. The eternal, only begotten Son of God. He is God's Son. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, the Father said. This is my Son. Hear ye him. Not only that, but he is the heir of all things. Everything is given over to Christ. Everything. He's the heir. You say, well, I'm an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. Christ is the heir, and whatever you have in him. Listen, who is this man? He made the worlds. He made the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Read on. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. The Father's glory is in Christ, centered in Christ, revealed in Christ. He's the exact image of his person. One of the disciples said to the Lord one day, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. And he said, have I been this long time with you, and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He is the exact image of the Father's person. And then notice, he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. In him we live and move and have our being. Let me tell you something. He who thinks little of Christ thinks little of God. He who thinks little of Christ or nothing of Christ knows nothing of God. He who thinks much of Christ has a saving knowledge of God, because God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So in those two verses, who is this man? Son of God, heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, the exact image of God's person, and the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. Well, what did he do? Listen. When he had by himself purged our sins. Do you read that? That's about as plain as a word could be spoken, isn't it? By himself purged our sins. Who purged our sins? He did. How did he do it? By himself. Well, didn't the preacher help him? No, sir. Didn't I help him? No, sir. Didn't faith help him? No, sir. Didn't Moses help him? No, sir. By himself, he's our Redeemer. He walked the winepress of God's wrath all alone. Even the Father deserted him on the cross. He bare our guilt and shame and filth and sin in his body on the tree by himself. You see that? By himself. The royal bath of mercy, in which black souls are washed white from their guilt and shame and sin, was drawn from the veins of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. And no blood of noble martyrs or noble confessors or popes or priests or cardinals or evangelists or missionaries or preachers or well-meaning religionists enter that stream. There's a fountain filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The banquet of mercy is served by one host, the Lord of glory, by himself. What did he do? Purged. Put away our sins. That's the reason there's no purgatory. The believer has no sins to purge. They've already been purged. Calvary is the believer's purgatory. He purged our sins. How many of them? All of them. All of them. He's cast them behind his back. He's cast them into the depths of the sea. He's separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. He's blotted them out. He said, I'll remember them no more. He's purged our sin. How'd he do it? By himself. By himself. By the sacrifice of himself. He appeared to put away sin. Well, where is he now? Read on. You see, God has spoken to us. He spoke to our fathers with the prophets. Same message. Same message. He spoke to us by his Son, his beloved Son, by whom he made the worlds, who by himself purged our sins. Where is he now? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's where he is. Our great high priest, having finished his work, sat down. Now let me tell you something. If you know anything about the tabernacle or the temple, there were 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, but not one chair. Not one chair. There was the altar, and there was the wash basin, and the candlestick, and the table of showbread, and the incense, and the mercy seat, and the Ark of the Covenant. No chairs. Why no chairs? Why, those men ministered in there every day, 365 days a year, every year in the decade and millennium. They ministered in that tabernacle. No chair. They never sat down. Why did they never sit down? They never finished their work. Their work was not effectual. Their work was representative. Christ, by one offering, perfected forever them that are sanctified. Having completed his work, he sat down. The great high priest, Jesus Christ, has finished his work. He said that from Calvary so that heaven, earth, and hell could hear him. It's finished. And what a fool I'd be to try to add anything to it. What a fool I'd be to try to add anything to the glorious, grand work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is finished. He sat down. And there at the right hand of God, he is our mediator, the only one we have. There is no other mediator. You needn't pray to St. Jude or St. Christopher or any other saint. He can't help himself, let alone you. Don't pray to me. I can't help you. We pray. But Christ is our mediator. Christ is our intercessor. One God, one mediator between God and men. And that's the man Christ Jesus. And God Almighty will not speak to nor be spoken to except through Jesus Christ. Now watch this. And the Father spake of his excellent glory. Look at verse 5. He said, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. In verse 6, he says, Let all the angels of God worship him. In verse 8, this is the text that I read a moment ago. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God in human flesh. Christ is God. If you wanted to select a passage of Scripture that would show you that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, where would you go in the Word? Well, I'd go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, Unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Or I'd go to Isaiah 7:14, which is repeated in Matthew 1, where it says, A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Or I'd go to John 10, verse 30, where Christ said, I and my Father are one. And the religious people took up stones to stone him. And he said, Many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? And they said, We're not stoning you for good works. We're stoning you because you're a man and you claim to be God. And that's what he did. He not only claimed to be, he was God and is God. Or I'd go to Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul was preaching to the elders, and he charged them to feed the church of God, which God purchased with his own blood. But I'll tell you, this is an undeniable scripture here. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, The Father said to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Let all the angels of God worship God Almighty commands his angels to worship. Now, my friends, the only one who's to be worshipped is God. You have respect for men. You give honor to whom honor is due, and respect to whom respect is due, and obedience to whom obedience is due, but worship, nobody but God. And our God is commanding us to worship the Son, for Jesus Christ is God. And he said his throne is forever. His throne is a throne of holiness. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord Jehovah, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and all the angels and cherubims and heavenly hosts cried, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy. His throne is a throne of holiness. His throne is a throne of justice. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, he'll do right. Holy and righteous are his judgments. But his throne, thank God, is a throne of grace. And he tells us to boldly come before the throne of grace that we may find mercy to help and grace in our need. And his throne is forever. And he says he's established his throne and his people shall reign with him. And his enemies shall be his footstool. Those who love him, who trust him, who believe him, will share his glory. It says they shall reign with him. But it says here that his enemies shall be his footstool. God the Father says, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And the message, Jesus Christ, is both Lord and Christ.